Today is the 17th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is awesome to be here with you today as we continue this journey of a lifetime across a year through the Bible, deeper into one another's lives, growing roots together through our experience in the Bible. And so let's take that next step forward. We're reading from the New International Version this week. Today, Leviticus chapters 4 and 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priests bring guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it there before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord, in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of the sin offering, all the fat that is connected to the internal organs, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys, just as the fat is removed from the ox, sacrificed as a fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering, but the hide of the bull and all its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the internal organs and the intestines, that is, all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially clean where the ashes are thrown, and burn it there in a wood fire on the ash heap. If the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the bull's blood into the tent of meeting. He shall dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord 7 times in front of the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from it and burn it on the altar, and do with this bull just as he did with the bull for the sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the community, and they will be forgiven. Then he shall take the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. This is the sin offering for the community. When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, when he realizes his guilt and the sin he has committed becomes known, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the goat's head and slaughter it at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall burn all the fat on the altar as he burned the fat of the fellowship offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the leader's sin, and he will be forgiven. If any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, When they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. They are to lay their hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. If someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hand on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. If anyone sins because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. If anyone becomes aware that they are guilty, if they unwittingly touch anything ceremonially unclean, whether the carcass of an unclean animal, wild or domestic, or of any unclean creature that moves along the ground, and they are unaware that they have become unclean, but then they come to realize their guilt, or if they touch a human uncleanness, anything that would make them unclean, even though they are unaware of it, but when they learn of it and realize their guilt, or if anyone thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in any matter one might carelessly swear about, even though they are unaware of it, but then they learn of it and realize their guilt, when anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in any of these matters, they must confess in what way they have sinned. As a penalty for the sin they have committed, they must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for them for their sin. Anyone who cannot afford a lamb is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a penalty for their sin, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. They are to bring them to the priest, who shall first offer the one for the sin offering. He is to wring its head from its neck, not dividing it completely, and is to splash some of the blood of the sin offering against the side of the altar. The rest of the blood must be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. The priest shall then offer the other as a burnt offering in the prescribed way and make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. If, however, they cannot afford two doves or two young pigeons, they are to bring as an offering for their sin a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour for a sin offering. They must not put olive oil or incense on it, because it is a sin offering. They are to bring it to the priest, who shall take a handful of it as a memorial portion and burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. It is a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for any of these sins they have committed, and they will be forgiven. The rest of the offering will belong to the priest, as in the case of the grain offering. The Lord said to Moses, "When anyone is unfaithful to the Lord by sinning unintentionally in regard to any of the Lord's holy things, they are to bring to the Lord as a penalty a ram from the flock, one without defect and of proper value in silver, according to the sanctuary shekel. It is a guilt offering. They must make restitution for what they have failed to do in regard to the holy things, pay an additional penalty of a fifth of its value, and give it all to the priest. The priest will make atonement for them with a ram as a guilt offering, and they will be forgiven. If anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though they do not know it, they are guilty and will be held responsible. They are to bring to the priest as a guilt offering a ram from the flock, one without defect and of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the wrong they have committed unintentionally, and they will be forgiven. It is a guilt offering. They have been guilty of wrongdoing against the Lord. Mark 2:13 through 3:6. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so that they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Psalm 36, for the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord. I have a message from God in my heart. concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God! People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. Proverbs 10, 1 and 2. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. Okay, so in the book of Leviticus, we are learning about the different sacrifices for different things, and one of the primary things is the sin offering. And we can watch these instructions. They're very detailed on how to do what needs to be done. And we can look at it as antiquated or barbaric or old or bloody or any of the things. And we could go like, is God just power hungry here? Like he just wants all of these animals to be slaughtered and burned and sacrificed to him because he likes that stuff? Let's pause, take a step back so that we can see what he wants. If there is no sin, there is no need for sacrifice. What God wants is no sin, because sin separates us from God. The sin offering is for the one who has sinned. And anyone going through this process, because it's tedious enough and it would take a bunch of time and you would actually have to go out to your flock and choose the spotless one. So in every way, this act, tedious though it may be, time-consuming though it may be, is a continual reminder of what sin does. Because in this brand new culture being formed in the wilderness, God wants them to be holy because he is holy. So there's no way to depend on the fact that they could become sinless in their own strength. There was going to be sin. Sin continues to exist in this world today. But that is indeed what makes the good news of the gospel so important to us, with Christ being the final sacrifice in the sacrificial system. Through Christ, we can become sinless because he covers us. Sin is no longer held against us. We can confess it. We do not have to sacrifice for it. But as we watch these things unfold in Leviticus and throughout the rest of the story, especially here in the law where we're watching all of the things that are going to shape them, we should begin to see or realize that everything that is being woven into the tapestry of this newly emerging culture is pointing them to God, their source of life, and warning them against things that will destroy that bond or covenant or break that covenant. The Bible tells us that sin leads us to destruction and to death. That is what God does not want. And God paid a price very dear to rescue us from it. And as an example from the scriptures about how off, how upside down, how backward things can get, we only need to look at what we read today from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is healing on the Sabbath day. That's against the rules. The rules as they had interpreted the rules. Jesus asked the question, is it lawful? Like, what's lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? And they didn't answer that question. Jesus heals this man. And as it is told in the Gospel of Mark, once the man was healed and restored, they went out and began to plot how they might kill Jesus. So in response to God restoring a person, because he did not interpret the law the way that they had customarily interpreted it, and we know that from the Gospel of Mark, because Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. They rejected all of this. The signs, the wonders, the explanation, or revelation, and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And I think we could agree that that's really twisted. Sin can twist you to the degree that you can't even see what God is doing right in front of your face. Sin is not only working against God in your life, it's working against God, period. And what is the mission of God, if we could call it that? It is to restore you. And sin can't be a part of that restorative process. So when we watch these sacrifices being implemented and kind of laid down in writing, because we are reading the rules, right? The laws. And the laws aren't always riveting narrative stories. They're laws and rules and how to obey them. But God isn't thirsty for animal blood. If he's thirsty, it's for righteousness. It's for holiness. Because this is freedom. So let's remember that as we continue our journey. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for all of the scriptures and all of the stories, and all of the way that things have unfolded. But at the center of it all, there is this willingness inside of our hearts to rebel against what we know is right, and this is sin, and it is only going to one place. That is demonstrated over and over in the scriptures. But what is also demonstrated over and over in the scriptures is that you will not surrender us. You come for us. You rescue us. And then you remind us that separation from you is something we want to have nothing to do with. And so, although we may not have to sacrifice an animal as a reminder all of the time, sin still does what sin does. Thankfully, so does the sacrifice of Jesus. And so may we walk in our freedom as you lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit into freedom, onto the narrow path that leads to life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It's website. It's Certainly where you can find out what's happening around here and how to get connected. Check out the community section. That would be where different links on the social media networks that we are on can be found, and that's good to know. The prayer wall is there in the community section, and it gets mentioned a lot because it's an invaluable resource. It's good to know that it's there, whether we need prayer or not. We can always pray for others, and we can always ask for prayer, and there's always a place for that around the global campfire. And so that can be found in the community section, whether on the website or using the Daily Audio Bible app. So check that out. And as always, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission here to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered to whoever will listen, wherever they may be on this planet, whatever time of day or night it might be, whatever the life circumstances may be, it is our mission to show up every day and be there to take the next step forward. And if that has been life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, there are a number of numbers that you can dial depending on where you are in the world. If you are in the Americas, 877-942-4253. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-882-0559 is the number to dial. And of course, if you are using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can hit the hotline button. No matter where you are in the world, that will get you to the right place anywhere that you have an internet connection. So you can check that out as well. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy. You are a God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that any of us could ask or think. And Father, we just want to thank you, praise you, magnify your name, worship you, for you are holy. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Son and Jesus, for your willingness to come. Thank you so much for doing more than we could ever imagine, giving us access to eternal life. Oh, Father, thank you for your Son and for your Holy Spirit. Dear God, that you would anoint each of us with your Spirit, that you would empower us through your word that we hear, that we read, through the presence of your Holy Spirit transforming us, empowering us to let go of those things that are not of you and to embrace those things that you want to have us do in our lives, breaking those bonds and embracing the truths of your victory, your freedom, your deliverance. Dear God, whatever the needs are of those who are hearing this prayer, family, finances, emotional, relational, professional, God, spiritual, dear Father, I praise you that you are everywhere present at the same time and that you know us deeply, intimately, because you are our Creator. Thank you for answering our prayers. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Patrick from Malta. I'm here with my wife, Maria. I was checking when we started listening. It was actually 2007, but we've been kind of on and off, and have just come back to it at the beginning of this year, 1st of January, and I remember back then writing to Brian to tell you how I felt you really nurture a community of love, even just by telling people you love them. And I can see how that's just spread and grown. And already back there in 2009, I was writing to you to tell you some of my thoughts about how the community had grown and what a blessing it was. And it's grown even bigger and even stronger. And I just really love the kingdom work that you're doing. And I love the fact that there's a genuine community of people that love one another, care for each other, pray for each other. And, you know, we listen to those prayers, and it's as much a blessing to hear those as it is to hear the scriptures. And I just want to say, my wife Maria wants to say something.
Well, today is Valentine's Day, right? 14th of February, and we don't really celebrate, do we? But I just want to ask the Lord to fill your heart with His love today afresh. May we, as we continue through the scriptures this year, as we continue in community, just know the love of God. Yes, that's my prayer.
Yeah, and for all those prayers that I hear, so many broken people and the suffering, there is a richness in the suffering, and I just pray that the Lord will meet you in that suffering and comfort you with His love and come through and answer you. We love you all, and bye from Malta.
Bye.
Hello, family. This is KB out of Atlanta. I'm calling in to give a praise report and an update and to say thank you for everyone who prayed for me. I went to the doctor the other day, and I did acupuncture, so it did help out with the pelvic issues, and I'm feeling better. It's only been a day or so, but I'm feeling better. Also, for those who pray for me, back, I think it was around Christmas time or slightly before Christmas, when I prayed for my business to do better. So, it's slowly picking up. It's picking up, but I just wanted to give everybody that update and to thank them for the prayers on that. And also just to say that while I was going through all of that, I've just been doing some self-evaluating, and I kind of learned a lesson in this, in the midst of everything that I'm going through. My business was doing very bad. It's a staffing company. People weren't working or whatever. So I was just trying to make it happen, you know, trying to. And what it taught me was that I just got to trust God. God is my source. Not my business, not any of that, not the amount of people I have or anything. God is my source. And I have to trust and believe that He will do what He has always done. He has never failed me. He has always provided. He has always made sure of what my family had. So I've heard in the community prayer, a lot of people who are going through things and stuff, trust and believe that God will see you through. Stand on His word. It's just so...
This is Candace from Oregon, and I just have to say I'm really grateful to the Dabber who often tells us the God who was able to save you and me will be able to save our children. And I just love that. That's really a bit of encouragement to me. My son... is finally, it looks like, this very moment as I speak, getting himself ready, talking to HR where he works, so that he can put himself into drug and alcohol treatment. And, you know, this will be where he can't work. It'll be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day for at least 2 weeks. So please pray with me. Lord, I pray for Micah. Thank you that he has arrived at this decision. And I pray that the hold that alcohol has had on him for over a decade would now be cast into the pit of hell along with all of its lies and destruction. And that what Micah will come into life that's truly life and be done with this. I pray that he will find the natural high of being outside in the sunshine and going on hikes and enjoying friendships and all that life is meant to be, that you have given us, Lord, rather than the lies that alcohol has told him all this time. I pray that he'll be involved in his community, in his church, and most of all, Lord, moment by moment with you. And I ask this in Jesus'
name. Hey guys, it's Valen Vegas. Today's my birthday. It's February 15th. And I'm not feeling that great. I want to pray right now for everyone that is suffering from COVID or any upper respiratory issue. Lord God, we need you, Father. God, just one breath of you can heal our lungs, Lord. Father, we love you. I pray for healing for everyone listening to this, Lord. But a special prayer for upper respiratory issues, Lord. There's nothing like not being able to breathe, Lord. Blow your breath on us, Father, and heal our bodies, Lord, like only you can, God. Father's life to this 53rd chapter of my life. The greatest part about it is taking you with me. I know that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Heal my body, Lord, and everyone listening, Father God, in your precious and mighty name. We love you, Jesus. Amen.